T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint XP on Campus. I am your host, Norris Howard, joined alongside my brother in arms, my colleague, my friend, Jacob Brothers. How's it going, sir?
Yeah, what up? I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well, man, and I'm doing even better now that college esports is in full swing. It is something that we've been waiting for all summer long, and now that it is October, everything has been popping off. It's been a great couple months already in September and late August, early September as well. It's been really fun, but you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, Jacob, and this is something that has concerned me, is that it is still a little difficult to figure out who is supposed to be playing where. It is something that continues to plague college esports. Invitationals seem to pop up with, you know, 2 weeks notice. There's a bunch of programs that I would love to see play, can't find out where they're playing, and when they do play, the stream is up for a matter of moments and it's gone just as fast. And so I want to ask you, Jacob, because I know this is something you've thought about very carefully. I want us to exercise our brains a little bit. Let's project, if we had the magic wand, what would a college esports season look like for us? Because I know how I visioned it. I want to ask you, starting in August, ending in June, what should the esports season look like for these schools, man?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So our strategies are a little different, but also kind of similar. But what I went with is that I think that August should be the team selection and scrims, the preseason. And then starting in September, I think that they should do 8-week tourneys through December.
Interesting.
And also one invitational a month. Because, and the reason for that is because I feel like I learned the most about collegiate esports during the Collegiate Clash. You know, when you, 8 weeks is long enough for storylines to develop. It's long enough for you to learn the personality of teams. Like, we would not know that UT Dallas chokes regularly if it weren't for that tournament. Or we wouldn't know how dominant the individual players on Utah are if it weren't for that 6-week right. tournament. So I think it gives you the personality that you're looking for teams. But also, so yeah, so then in October, it would be the rest of that September tourney plus an invitational. November would be another 8-week tourney. And one invitational, and then December would be the wrap-up of that November tourney and another invitational. And then January through April is the usual TESPA, College League of Legends, Rocket League, all of those traditional tournaments.
Right.
But they need, for the love of everything in my life, they need to do a better job organizing. If I am looking for Collegiate Overwatch, I should be able to type in Collegiate Overwatch and find it. Not find the 2019, the early 2020, the maybe late 2018 links to the brackets, and then click on the correct thing on the bracket to pull up. Like, it needs to change for all of them, really. Yeah. And then May playoffs and then June grand finals. What are you going to say?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think that's really important. And it's a big point for us to really begin to understand because, you know, we talk a lot about how we want to understand more about the space. We are reporting the news, but it is very hard to get the information that we need because the space is just so large. And so we need, you know, the runners of these leagues and these conferences to sort of step up and get a rein in on who's playing when. I don't care if you have 200 schools. I don't care if you have 5 schools. Put the schedule out and make sure that schedule is accurate.
That's another thing. Like right now, it feels like a last second Counter-Strike setup, where it's just like there's all these minors and majors, but we know ahead of time that all of those games are streamed, right? While this is like 2 weeks out, maybe you'll see half the teams. Because that's another big issue. Invitationals with lots of teams is great. We want to see that. But if for people who are going to cover esports, let alone the people who watch those individual schools, you have to show every game in some capacity.
Yes.
If it's on like 5 different channels, you know, that sucks, but we can manage. But when we're trying to cover it, you need to be able to at least find every game.
Yeah, the time of the era of only certain matches being streamed shouldn't exist in 2020. And I personally think that if you are going to participate in a major invitational or a major tourney, I think it needs to be mandated that your match is streamed somewhere from you.
Because that's how the school wins, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, let's say that in the case of something like Collegiate Clash, right, where there's a mainstream that everybody is going to watch, that's probably the biggest game. Okay, but I still want to be able to watch, you know, Akron versus Mississippi State, because I haven't seen Akron all month long.
Right.
I want to at least understand why they're not winning the matches, and I can't do that without watching.
And all these schools want to have their own, like, studio for that kind of a thing, so let them. Like, it's that simple.
And so it's like, hey, do you have a Twitch channel? No, we don't. We'll make one, or you can't participate in the tourney. So I think that is very important. And so, you know, you said that we differ a little bit in how we view this, and just a little bit. I really like your idea of a invitational every month followed by tourneys. I think tourneys starting out are really difficult to do
for sure.
at the beginning of a school year. I think you got too many kids moving around, coming in from other parts of the country. Some of them, well, not this year, but in the future, they'll be coming in from other countries. And so I think that's a lot to put on to students that are just really beginning to understand or relearn the college experience. And so I really don't like the concept of a tourney that early. What I do like is, you know, having August in the same vein as you, having August just for scrims and team selection. I think in a month you can figure out who your starting lineup is and a couple teams you could play to practice. I think in a month you could be able to figure that out. From September to November, I think there should be 2 invitationals a month. And the reason why I say that, and these are for the major esports league, Overwatch, CSGO, Valorant, whatever. I think the way you go about this is through invitationals, because that way we can see many different schools. As it stands right now, when we're talking about these tourneys, because of the streaming issues, because of, you know, certain schools being so much more dominant than other ones, you only get to see a certain few. And so I think by having more invitationals, you increase the opportunity for more schools to be seen. And through those invitationals, you begin to have more storylines of head-to-heads and stuff like that begin to emerge. And so I think you do that. Here's the big difference. In December, per esport, I think you have almost like a champions bracket big event to close out the year. So let's say you're doing something for Overwatch, right? You've run, you know, the 6 invitationals, everybody's played, and you take those, you know, 8 best teams or 12 best teams, excuse me, you take those 12 best teams in Overwatch, and they all play each other in that final bracket of the year. I think that's a great way to see the best teams at any given moment. I think it's a great way to drum up the storylines that have been brewing since August. And I think it's a great way to end the year. Now, I agree that the second half of the scholastic year, so the spring semester, I think it occurs in the exact same way that you have it. Regular season style, January to April, regular season. May is your playoffs, June is your grand finals.
Well, it'd be too crowded to do anything else, really.
Exactly. And I think that's how you follow it. I think if you run it that way, we've seen everybody at some point. schools get multiple opportunities to win invitationals. So your season is not your end-all be-all. Mm-hmm. So like if you suck during the season but you won a couple invitationals, your program still has some status. And so I think this is both of these are cool ways to think about the esports season, but the biggest thing is they're all easy to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, any last comments on this? Because yeah. I really like your ideas.
Yeah.
Here.
So what I think that logistically, my 8-week tourney idea, I get the logistics of why it doesn't work, but when it comes to two invitationals, which would work, what you propose would absolutely work with no issues. But what I think is that one, naming conventions would get out of hand right out of the gate. You know as much as I do, you would not be able to tell an October invitational apart from a November invitational. Because it would be like a Blast Pro Collegiate Site C invitational. And they'd be like, like, bro, just call it like UCLA and Harrisburg, they do it right. You know, UCLA invitational. Boom, cool. And you could have different schools hold the invitationals. That's a great idea. But also, getting a ton of teams in there is what we want. But at the same time, yeah. It's going to be hard for any of them to be memorable. As opposed to like the 8-week season where it's like, I remember all of those teams because I saw them for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I remember the trends. I know Mississippi is not a bad school. They're not a top school at the moment, but they're definitely not a bad school. And I know that because I saw them and saw the storylines unfold. As opposed to two invitationals where you're seeing, let's say, 50 teams, you'll remember maybe 5. You know, maybe. Yeah, but that championship invitational would be absolutely electric. No question.
Yeah. So it sounds like the key is to take a blend of these two ideas and mash them together.
I mean, you could have the winners of the tourneys season. And the winners of the invitational, then funnel into a championship invitational.
And then if you won a tourney and an invitational, you only get one berth and a second place team goes. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think this is a great idea. College programs, TESPA, CLAW, if you take our ideas, just, you know where to write the checks to. It is what it is. But I think these are great ideas. And, you know, let's get some more organization into this space. Because I think it's needed.